And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here. Hope everyone had a great 4th of July holiday weekend. I know lots of rides were happening and people were out and about riding and having some fun. But on this week's episode, I have a great discussion with a local business that is in Carmel. And they are all about nutrition, fitness, progress, goals, and creating a strategic plan to help you gain fitness as well as train smarter and more efficient. So this discussion is with a great group of individuals that are empowering local athletes to either test or just train at their facility and and use their resources to become stronger and physically smarter on the bike. And this is a reminder, if you are not a member of Bicycle Indiana, please take a moment to go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Join. Without your memberships, we cannot do the things that we do. So please take a moment. Like I said, you can also go to your local BMV and become a member that way by getting a Bicycle Indiana or Indiana Bicycle Coalition license plate. Thank you so much again for all of our members. You keep us rolling. So again, follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and join today. And I hope you enjoy the show. All right. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, executive director. Super excited to have this group of individuals on the call. I have been watching this business over the past couple of years, and I think there's a lot of great information and resources to help educate the state about some great health benefits. But I'm just going to dive right into it and welcome Jeremy to the call and his crew. But yeah, Jeremy, you want to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah. So Jeremy Wilson, founder, owner, lab director of VQ Labs here in now Carmel. So yeah, we run a metabolic health and wellness testing facility, indoor cycling center. We specialize in dealing with anybody from somebody coming off the couch all the way up to elite professional athletes. We do kind of push ourselves into the endurance world. So yes, we do have an indoor cycling center. We work with a lot of cyclists, not a lot of racers. It's a lot of people just trying to get a little stronger on the bike and kind of that weekend warrior aspect. But yeah, so that's kind of in short what we do. I'll let everybody else kind of introduce themselves and kind of talk about what they do and how they fit into VQ Labs.
Yeah. Who wants to go next? We got Sherry and Chandler, whoever.
Yep. Chandler Horton. So I do a mix, pretty much everything here. So on the testing side, any of the DEXA RMR, VO2, sweat, et cetera. And then also with the cycling classes we do here, I teach those. And then with some of our outdoor camps and group rides, I'll lead those as well.
Nice. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Sherry Branneman, and I teach the Winter Divas training program at VQ Labs. And I also help lead the Monday night recovery rides. Currently there may be other things, but that's about what I'm doing right now.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show. Like I said, I have it sounds kind of creepy when I say I've been watching you, but I have been kind of watching a lot of things that are going around the state, obviously with work and learning, and I love to learn. So I'm, like I said, super stoked for you all to be here. So VQ Labs, we obviously had a little bit of an introduction with Jeremy of what VQ Labs is, but let's dive into a little bit of the maybe history of the company. Do you want to talk about that, Jeremy?
Yeah. So I know we probably have a certain amount of time here, but So VQ Labs was kind of created as a franchise opportunity, or at least a practice attempt, from a company called Vision Quest Coaching in Chicago, which is started by a former pro cyclist by the name of Robbie Ventura, former pro cyclist, teammates, and on the same U.S. Postal Service team as Lance Armstrong. So I met Robbie in conjunction by way of one of my business partners, Mike Barand and Andy Ish. Got to talking, and long story short, we asked if he was wanting to expand his footprint, and that's kind of how the concept of VQ Labs here started. So this is, again, kind of a franchise practice attempt, as if we were going to continue to expand this. This is what it would look like. So a very repeatable model from a health and wellness testing standpoint, indoor cycling standpoint. So after sit down conversation, dinner, we decided that we were going to do this. So we fast forward to April of 2020. Super awesome time to open up a brand new business.
I was going to say.
Right when COVID kicked in. So at the time, for the last 5.5 years, we were over on the northwest side of Indianapolis, kind of in the back half of a building where the front half was chiropractors, physical therapists, muscle specialist. So fortunately, during that time, we were deemed as essential business. So we were able to still do some testing, even though our cycling didn't really start until later in August of 2020. So yeah, we learned a lot during that time, but it helped us grow and strengthen as a business. And we've just been going ever since, and happy to say that starting in June of this year of 2025, we just expanded into our brand new state-of-the-art facility in Carmel, Indiana, right off the Monon. So 126th and Rangeline is our new location. We went from about 1800 square feet to almost 5,500 showers, locker rooms, more testing rooms, recovery room, which I'm sitting in right now, devoted cycling room. And then we added 3 awesome sports rehab athletic trainer guys to kind of round out what we do here at VQ Labs.
Wow. So. That's great. And so I have not been to your new facility, which maybe I need to make a trip out to come check it out.
Yes, you should.
Nice. Sherry, did you want to add anything?
No, I'm just really excited for the new facility. It is state of the art, and already started. I still try to go in early morning to ride because it just helps with the outdoor component. And it's just you have to come and see it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing that I have on my list, well, one, your website changed, I feel like, since the last time I looked at it. And again, I feel like I sound kind of creepy because I'm noticing that website's changed.
It literally changed last night.
I knew it.
Something else that's been in the making. it's way easier to kind of get through, and it gives a lot of answers to a lot of questions that people have as far as what we do. So that was a big, big piece of our puzzle, is kind of launching a brand new website. So yes, go check it out.
It looks great. VQLabs.com.
Yeah. Thank you.
So I wrote down performance testing. Now, again, when I made my list, it was based off of your old website. So I'm going to do my best to maybe try to still keep it within the website that I saw. So performance testing. As a cyclist, you said you work mostly with cyclists. If you're new to VQ Labs, what are some of the things that you can get tested on? I guess that's a really vague question, but I would have no idea. Obviously, I train with power. I train with heart rate. Do I know how to use it to maybe the level you're using it? Probably not. So what are some things?
Yeah. So as far as the performance testing goes, I mean, we offer 5 main testing services. kind of our, what we call our entry level all day, every day test would be our DEXA body composition test. So it's an x-ray based scan of your body. It tells you how much you weigh, how much lean tissue, fat tissue, including visceral fat, bone weight, and bone density. So that's kind of a good body composition starting point, which a lot of things that we do are based on. And then our next test is resting metabolic rate. Tells you the base number of calories your body needs to maintain basic vital function. Next test is VO2 max testing. So it tells you kind of maximal oxygen uptake, but then really digs into heart rate aspects of what truly is someone's zone two, or where they're burning the most amount of fat calories at a given heart rate, all the way up through how do we better fuel at higher intensities. And I mean, those first three tests we spend all day, every day doing for general population, all the way up to the elite endurance athlete. And we spend a lot of time not only testing, but re-educating and kind of rewiring people's heads of what to do and what not to do. I always tell people one of our big mottos is we train people to train smarter, not harder.
Sure.
But from a cyclist standpoint, now we're getting into our other last two tests of sweat testing and blood lactate testing. So we really dig into the science side of the cycling aspect of the blood lactate testing. So instead of every cyclist kind of knowing and going off of FTP, which is not really a good understanding of what somebody truly is as a cyclist, we can kind of, we now have the ability to dig into truly someone's energy systems of, okay, are they more of a fat burner? Are they more of a glycolytic carb burner? And being able to kind of dictate truly good training strategies, training zones based on someone's lactate threshold. So yeah, I mean, those from a cycling standpoint, I mean, that is our gold standard test if someone runs with power. Mm-hmm. If not, we really push people into our VO2 test, which is all heart rate based. Right. So
yeah, because when I train, I just go on Zwift and I try to do a FTP test and see what it's at, or I go out and try to chase some people that I know are really fast and try to hang on and see if I can get a good 20-minute test. And it depends on obviously outdoor conditions, how you're feeling that day, and yeah, even your heart rate.
Well, and I mean, from an FTP standpoint, I mean, doing those 20-minute tests, I mean, doesn't really tell the true picture of who or what somebody is as a cyclist. And I mean, truly, you have to have the perfect 20-minute test to give yourself a relative number to go off of. Sure. Because we see, I mean, Chandler can totally attest to this, but we have a lot of people that come in here that are coming in to do the blood lactate test. And one of the first questions that I ask them is, what's your FTP? And they'll just rattle off a number. I'm like, is it really that? Because we find a lot of people train with an elevated FTP.
Absolutely.
Whereas, okay, now we're able to kind of dig into a lot more underneath the surface and being able to tell them and educate them a lot more on truly what they can ride at, how long can they ride at that, how they can better fuel themselves on the bike and things like that. So,
right. Chandler, did you want to add anything what he just kind of talked about? I know he kind of put you on the spot a little bit with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think he did a really good job explaining it, but like you said, it's the specificity to the individual that, I mean, all our tests can provide, because I mean, even starting with a DEXA, you can have five scales at home and probably get pretty good estimate of how much you weigh. But then here with a breakdown and then jumping ahead to either the sweat test or the lactate test, it's just so much more in depth specific to you. And from there, you're only going to see even more advancing of whatever you're trying to improve. So,
yeah. So lots of tests, which I think definitely is great to learn more about your body and how you function. And like you said, how to be more efficient and effective. If you go as a new client, do you have to do all those tests, or you can just pick one, or you can pick two, or do you just recommend this entire package of everything? How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, people sometimes, a lot of times we'll get somebody that just comes in for a DEXA scan. And then as we go through their results and we start talking about what their goals are and things like that, then it, a lot of times we'll branch off into, oh, well, you should probably do the RMR test to know exactly how much you need to eat. Or, oh, hey, you're training for a half marathon. Maybe the VO2 would be a good test for you to find out exactly what heart rate zones need to be and how you can better fuel yourselves. And, oh, hey, I'm cramping. Maybe I need to get a sweat test to know how much I need to be hydrating with. So sometimes people will come in and they come in initially for one test. But one of our most popular test packages that we offer is the wellness assessment. So it's a DEXA, RMR, and VO2. So it's kind of putting a lot of puzzle pieces together. People typically have a good understanding of their body, not only from a composition standpoint, how many calories they then need to eat, and then as well as exercise intensities from a heart rate standpoint of what they should and shouldn't be doing. Being able to pinpoint zone 2, where they can burn fat. And then as the heart rate intensities go up, we can kind of pinpoint, hey, this is what you should be eating before, during, and after working out, kind of thing. So again, it all goes back to training smarter, not harder.
So let's talk about indoor training. You mentioned you have the studio. Now, for the record, I've only seen your previous studio, which I was going to describe to our listeners, but I don't think I should describe it now since it's not there anymore.
It's very similar. The cycling studio looks very similar to what it did before.
So for our listeners, it's a room that has a bunch of stationary bikes that are then hooked up to different technology power meters to then kind of work as almost like a video game. And maybe, I don't know if Sherry wants to explain a little bit more in detail of what kind of visually this looks like, because when I walked in, it was a little intimidating. But at the same time, there was so much going on and I didn't really know what was going on.
So, okay. when you come in, what I love about the indoor training at VQ, different than if you were to take a spin class at your local gym or whatnot, it is going to be based on power. And what is wonderful is that everybody can come in there and they all have different power FTPs, your 20-minute FTP, and you ride, and there is going to be a dial. And it's data driven. And to make it easy, you keep it green. Depending on what the workout is, and Jeremy can elaborate, but, you know, depending on it's programmed. So, you know, that it starts pretty much once the outdoor season kind of starts to end, that's when week 1 would start. And you build a base everyone comes in and they can be successful no matter what their fitness level is, because everybody's riding their own metrics.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it, as opposed to going and just going to a gym and spinning for no reason. Right. You're training smart and not hard. From a diva standpoint, I have seen huge improvements in some of the women that have come in and started and ridden just twice a week, starting in at beginning of November and finishing at the end of March.
I'm going to pause for a second, because you said divas. Can you just give like a 1-2 sentence kind of what the divas are, so that way our listeners know what's going on?
Yes. So the divas is a women's bike club that is a chapter of the Tulsa Tough bike club. From Tulsa Tough, the divas started there, and Jennifer Savar, the race director for IU Momentum Indy, decided that she wanted to have a women's specific bike club. And so she asked the Tulsa Tough divas if she could do a chapter here. And that is what we are. We meet on Thursday evenings and we ride. There's different groups and they all have a name based on a musician. Mm-hmm. And from the A group all the way to the I'm riding my beach cruiser for the first time. So it's pretty wide. There are now 270 women.
Oh my gosh. That has grown tremendously since I've been there.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
And for our listeners, they are a rowdy group of women that encourage every rider that shows up. And the ride leaders is what I thought was the most important thing to see, which was all about safety and really making sure every rider felt comfortable riding on the road, because that can be intimidating.
Yes.
Okay. So back to indoor training. You obviously can go in as groups, you know, cause there's multiple bikes. And obviously don't give your secrets away, but how do those workouts happen? Like, what if I come in and I'm like, I need to do some zone 4 threshold to get ready for Dust Bowl because the start is crazy. You know, it's beyond what I can do. So would I be able to just customize a workout and sit in there and do it on my own screen, or is everyone on the same workout?
Yeah. So everybody's doing the same workout. We have typically through the main indoor season, which is, let's call it November through April, there's 4 different workouts every week. Monday, Tuesday is a workout. Wednesday, Thursday is a workout. Friday's a workout. And then Saturdays are 90-minute workouts. Everything Monday through Friday are 60-minute workouts. And most workouts are at least threshold driven. You'll see 1 or 2 workouts a week that kind of pop in some VO2 aspects or some higher intensity. But yeah, it's just kind of a mix of different things. There's a lot of skill development. So there's a lot of cadence work. There's a lot of body positioning work. So if somebody comes into us on day one, whatever that day is, you don't have to come in at the beginning of the season. You can jump in at the middle of the season. It's an AI-based software system, so it's going to track everything. It's going to show people their growth and development as they go through. But I mean, everybody is going to see some sort of an improvement, whether it's just becoming a stronger rider, being a smoother rider, both of which people want to see when they go outside. You want to be the strong, smooth rider in that group, mm-hmm. because then it's going to have repercussion aspects in that group. I mean, if you're somebody who's super erratic, then the back of that group is going to be super erratic and bad things start to happen. So again, there's lots of skill development that we teach and train on top of, like Sherry said, everybody's coming in, all 10 riders are in there doing the exact same workout at their given power aspects. There's lots of in-game opportunities that don't necessarily favor the strongest rider in the room. So somebody who's brand new to cycling can be competing with somebody who just finished on the podium last weekend at their local crit race or road race or gravel race, whatever the case is. So that's what makes it fun. I always say misery loves company. I mean, you can kind of work and sweat and yell and scream with 9 people right next to you. So the really cool thing is the bikes are already here, fully adjustable road bikes. So the first time somebody comes in, they're like, I really wish I could ride my bike. When it's all said and done, when somebody has the opportunity to do this, they're like, oh yeah, I'm glad I don't have to lug my bike in 30 degree weather from my bike to in here. So, and it's a very clean kind of luxury environment. Once you come in the first time, your bike measurements are all set up. You sign up. We know you're going to come in. We have it all set and ready for you. All you got to do is hop on the bike and ride and sweat. So
nice. So I'm going to put you on the hot spot. I got this question that just came into my brain. So what makes your indoor riding different than, let's say, the power class over at Marion? I have a couple buddies that tried that one where they, I believe you're riding your own bikes on trainers, which is one of the big differences. But what makes their class different? Obviously, don't give your secrets away. Maybe don't give their secrets away. But could you kind of put into perspective for maybe, let's say, a more not amateur cyclist that's wanting to learn about how to get involved?
Yeah. So, I mean, one, I think the software that we use is very independent to what we do. We're only one of 2 people in the United States that use this software. It is a Canadian-based software company. It's cold in Canada, so there's a lot of indoor riding opportunities there. So, one, there's that aspect of it. 2, it's a progression aspect of the season starting in roughly December going through April. So there's a progression aspect to that. there's lots of in-game aspects of each workout. We also offer 4 to 6 different event type atmosphere events, so to speak. So we do stage races. So everything that we're practicing from a skill development aspect, some of the in-game aspects are then put into a 60-minute race that you can compete with not only the people in there in our lab, but also people around the world. So I think there's close to 20 centers around the world that we're competing with. So that makes it a little bit more fun. You kind of get to see where you are, where you're stacking up with everybody else, how you're improving. I think that we're super awesome. That's how we differentiate ourselves with anybody else. Again, and all the bikes are here, so you don't have to lug your bike in, which is a huge aspect. But again, people see from day one to continued training and classes that they're getting stronger time and time again. And I mean, it's just, frankly, it's a community. Everybody loves the community. You're not always necessarily riding to the person next to you that was there last time. So you get to kind of chat with somebody else and hang out and just have a good time.
Yeah. All right. So if you're new, like you were saying, and let's say you show up, do you have to do your performance packages and tests in order to do the cycling session? Or how would you kind of start the cycling studio if you didn't have an FTP? Like, how would you judge that?
Yeah. So a lot of times, no, you don't have to do the testing to come in and do the cycling or vice versa. If somebody's coming in for the very first time as a cyclist, then we get them set up on the bike. We get them comfortable. We kind of show them the ropes of what they're looking at on the screen. So they know, okay, this is my power gauge that I'm looking at. This is my cadence. So they know exactly what they're looking at. Because there's so much going on, we always joke, but the first class is free. So people can kind of come in and just try it out to see what they like. If they have no idea what their power is, we're just going to guesstimate what we think they should be at. We're going to probably guess a little bit low so that the first class isn't pure misery. But then again, it's an AI-based software system, so it's going to track everything. So it's going to show improvement over time. So they're going to see that they are getting stronger. So, yeah.
So I had this question pop into my brain. I know you're probably like, what is going on in her brain? do these rides upload to Strava? Because let's be real, we've got a lot of people out there that are on Strava. And if it didn't happen on Strava, it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. That's right. Yes. So we can link it to third parties such as Strava, Training Peaks. Those are the only two third-party apps that we use. But yeah, as soon as the ride is done, we hit save and it automatically uploads. And then people obviously can go in and put their own pictures or make their own notes or whatever they want, whether it's Strava, Training Peaks or whatever. We have some people that come in that are coached by people, so they want to see it on Training Peaks and things like that. So yeah, 100%.
Nice. Yeah. Cause Strava is important to some people.
Super important. it's not as important to everybody, but yes.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I do want to talk a little bit about nutrition. You can go into crazy detail, but again, don't give your secrets away. But let's talk about nutrition. What are some basic things to, let's say, a new cyclist that's, you know, wanting to get into the sport? It's obviously very warm outside right now. How does an individual, you know, use nutrition to benefit their performance in cycling?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a million different ways you can go with this conversation and that question. But I mean, time and time again, we see people that don't hydrate enough, aka use enough sodium, and they certainly don't fuel enough. I mean, the number of people that I've seen over the years that are out on a 2-hour pretty intense group ride, they just have water in their water bottles and that's it.
I was one of those people at one point.
I know. We all were at some point in time, but that's their form of hydration.
Sure.
But then all of a sudden now halfway through the ride or at the end of the ride, they're completely bonking, cramping, whatever the case is. So even if you're just coming in for a cycling class, there's a lot of education, even if it's kind of behind the scenes of this is what you should be doing. This is what you shouldn't be doing. It's easier to do something than not do something, but there's a lot of education aspects, even when people aren't realizing it. Like if you come in for a cycling class, you're going to see, we've got a whole wall of snacks and hydration. Yes, it's there for their benefit, but it's also there kind of as an underlying education aspect of, hey, it's 6 a.m. You probably haven't eaten anything. You're about to do a 60-minute workout. Why don't you grab something or fuel up with some carbs?
So,
yeah.
I'm learning a lot about how many carbs you need to eat per hour. And, you know, of course, you see everything on social media, especially with Unbound recently, which is what that big gravel race. But one woman that's an elite rider was saying she was trying to consume 120 grams of carbs per hour. And then I looked at my, you know, my scratch packet or whatever. I'm thinking I have to eat like, you know, two of these in an hour. Like, that's crazy. Right. I can hardly consume a package, you know? So,
I mean, it's a full-time job to fuel yourself and hydrate yourself on a bike for something that's more than 90 minutes where it really matters and counts.
Yeah.
I mean, Chandler and I have conversations about this all the time, and I'm picking his brain and he's teaching me all kinds of things. And I mean, Sherry and I talk about it all the time. And we just had a Michigan camp where there's so many snacks, and I mean, nobody should ever go hungry. But I mean, when you're working out, we always tell people like, hey, this isn't the time when you should be thinking about weight loss. This is the time where you should be fueling yourself for performance aspects.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we spend so much time educating. And one of the big things that we want people to walk away from VQ Labs with is, oh, I learned something about how much I should be eating or how much I should be drinking and things like that. Yeah. So,
all right. So what's your favorite? I'm going to ask everyone, what's your favorite nutrition like snack or to fuel with? Think about that. I'll put some Jeopardy music on.
I'm going to let everybody else go first.
I'm trying to stay away from maltodextrin, which is in everything, I'm realizing. So I'm sticking to scratch products this year.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Scratch are great. And that's, I mean, there's so many products out there. Yeah. I mean, Scratch makes a great, like, ultra endurance, like high carb formula, mm-hmm. which is good. Some people like it. Some people don't. Everybody's got their own favorites, but no, we use Scratch. We use precision hydration. We use Element. We use, there's all kinds of things that we use because there's so many different things out there.
What do you like, Sherry?
So I always put Scratch in my water bottles and an Element. I like the plain Element. And then love the precision hydration. Those blocks, Jeremy.
The chews.
The chews. Thank you.
The 30 gram chews.
30 gram chews. Wow. Yes. And then the 30 gram
gels.
Gel. Thank you. Those are quite divine. And again, back to it's at VQ, so you can try it in a safe environment. You know, because if it doesn't work, you have somewhere to go.
Yeah.
You know, you can try it, and it's not going to hurt. You know, so those are really good. And when we were on camp this past week, I was conscious of making sure I at least at a minimum got 60 to 90 in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have never felt as good as I did on this trip. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Chandler, what's your favorite?
cycling specific wise, probably the precision chews. I've had enough gels in my life. There aren't really any gels I dislike, but sometimes especially indoors in the winter, you want something that's more fun. To me, I think the chews are great, or they have their really big twist off gels that are 90 grams. So if you're doing a longer ride and you want to take more nutrition, they're super easy to put back in your pocket. You stop quick at a traffic light or something. You can take half of it down, keep riding rather than maybe having a sticky gel in your pocket for the next couple hours. In terms of non-cycling specific, Stroop waffles for sure.
All right.
At any time, a warm brew at the cafe, I don't mind a Stroop waffle on top of the
coffee,
so.
Nice.
I would say a crowd favorite here at VQ Labs, though, from a non-like specific nutritional scratch precision hydration stuff is the Bobo's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
People love those. And apparently strawberry is more popular than the grape. But yes, those are
thumbs down from Chandler for the grape.
The strawberry is very popular.
I'm the only one that eats the grape.
Oh, so there. So maybe that's
everyone leaves me the grape, which is okay. But I don't think there's a difference between them.
Okay.
But so going back to what you said, I mean, somebody at Unbounce trying to get 120 grams. I mean, we push people to try to, hey, let's start with 60 to 90. It's a little more attainable, but we're not necessarily trying to push people to get 60 to 90 in our hour classes because, again, getting into some science, and I mean, Chandler could really elaborate on this if he really wanted to, but I mean, you've got enough glycogen if you've eaten the night before in your body to kind of really get your way through that class. It's where you push on the 90 minutes or more where, okay, this is where we really have to think about doing some stuff of additional carbohydrates. And you have to train yourself to get to that 120 per hour kind of thing. It's not something that somebody can just do overnight. So again, something that we teach and educate with as somebody comes in and does classes and does some of the testing. So I think people are going to walk away with a lot after coming into VQ Labs.
Well, I have already learned a lot, but you two have mentioned, three have mentioned Michigan. We got to talk about Michigan. I'm from Michigan, so I was really kind of bummed to miss this trip. I was struggling on the Pedal Putnam course again. It was round two. But anyway, I'll text you later about some information that I found out. But anyway, Michigan. Let's talk about Michigan. You went to Ludington, which is an incredible, beautiful area. As you can tell, being a Hoosier now for, 10 years, I still miss Michigan. Who wants to go first to talk about Michigan? Cherry? Yeah? Yeah?
Okay. This is my third year going to Michigan, and it's the highlight of my summer. I can't explain, you know, we call it a camp, but there's nothing campy about it. It's more like a retreat. We stay in cottages in an area, and we use several cottages, and then there's a main cottage where everybody will then come for breakfast, dinner, and lunch. And literally all you need to bring is your bike and a helmet, your shoes, and your riding clothes. Everything else, I mean, it's provided. We ride hard, and we have a great time. I've laughed so hard. Sunday is a really sad day. You come home and I have to cook my meal. It's a little sad. It's a little sad on Sunday when I come home, but we have a time trial on Thursday, which is a lot of fun. And especially for some of the new people who attend, it's a little nerve wracking if you've never, ever competed or tried. I remember 3 years ago when I did it, I was so nervous, and I finally went back and looked, and I have improved every year. And it's just a 5 mile time trial. But we have teams and we make it fun. And then we just have a group ride every day, and there are different groups depending on your pace. And then, Jeremy, Chandler, and I each take a group, and we are the ride leaders for that group. So nice. I'll let Jeremy or Chandler chime in. You have to ask Chandler what he eats for his time trial.
Well, what do you eat, Chandler? Well, we got to know.
Dino Bites. Malto meal bag cereal. Winner, warm up with Malto meal. So yeah, as dialed in as I maybe am in some aspects of my life, there are others. Although I guess, I mean, it's low fat, low protein, low fiber. So it's the go fast, not juice, but time trial morning, I had some Dino Bites to get me going.
All right. I'll have to add that to my list.
Yeah, I mean, overall, Michigan is just truly an experience. I mean, we call it a camp. This year we had just under 30 people. That's kind of our sweet spot, 30 to 35 people split between four different cottages. One main cottage where everybody comes and, like Sherry said, eats breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's where all the rides launch from. There's a little bit of education, but when you get 30 adults in one roof, the attention span is about like this. So trying to get them to listen for 10 or 15 minutes is about all that we can handle. So, but usually somebody's going to walk away with some sort of education piece, but a lot more of the experience people walk away from. So we push people to kind of do things that they've never done before. Like this year we had a lady who was relatively new to cycling. And on day one, she said, "Oh, that's the farthest I've ever ridden." Day two, farthest she ever had ridden. She did a metric century and then some. But there's lots of stories and takeaways that are always at camp of somebody's personal experience of riding the bike or whatever the case is. So the last night of camp, we always kind of like go around the room and everybody gives like a little 2-minute spiel of what their takeaway from camp was, whether it's somebody that was an impact on their life in that camp or whatever. I'm getting a little deep, but I mean, it's usually a pretty fun time to kind of go around the room and have somebody's takeaway from what they experienced at camp. It's a lot of people are intimidated when they hear about the VQ Michigan camp. They're like, "Oh, that's too much for me. That's not for me." But I guarantee you will not regret if you come to the camp. People are going to walk away with 200 to 300 miles of riding. They're going to get a fitness bump. They're going to have a good food and drink experience. Yeah, it's super fun. We the intention is somebody to show up to camp and do nothing more than absolutely anything they want to do as far as riding the bike, laying low, hanging out. Yeah. So
you keep saying that it's not a camp, but it really does sound kind of like a camp if you're all sitting around together talking about your feelings.
It's okay. It's therapy. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so, bike therapy. Hey, I get it.
Shameless plug is you can sign up for 2026.
Oh boy.
Now. Yes. Wow.
Well, so maybe I'll consider that. So for all of our listeners, you can use your hand, right, to demonstrate where you are in Michigan. But if you look at your hand, it's kind of like, for me, on mine, like where the pinky kind of starts. It's kind of between Traverse City and Grand Rapids, not quite up to the Uper, you know, the northern part. Don't worry, the Michigan accent will come out as we continue to talk. But yeah, it's beautiful up there. And unfortunately, I think you had a little bit of a hot trip, or no?
No, it wasn't too bad. It was more windy this year. So we tried to strategically plan our routes and days for that. But yeah, weather was fairly decent, but got a little windy. Knock on wood, the wind is always, or the weather is always pretty good up there. So yeah. It wasn't this hot, like 90 degree hot, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, nice. Yeah. Anything else you want to add about events? Do you do any other type of events?
We do every year. It's usually the first or second week in May. We do a big Brown County one-day ride. It's like 70 miles, 4,000 feet of climbing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's if you're not a climber, it's But we hit some of the big hills down in Brown County area. We do a little lunch afterwards. So, again, it's just a fun atmosphere. It's sagged. Oh yeah, something about Michigan that I didn't say is we have two mechanics that do all the sagging and mechanic work. So again, you don't have to worry about anything. Nice. And then we always have one of those mechanics that sags for us about halfway through the Brown County ride. So it's just like a super glamorous group ride.
I like that, glamorous group ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Okay, so how do I schedule an appointment? I just go to your website, email you?
Go to our brand new website, vqlabs.com. You can either book a service, one of the tests, or book a class that way.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then we kind of talked a bit about the divas already with Sherry, but I don't want to dive in too much, but what are some things if you do specifically for women? Because women's health, I think, is a little bit different. You know, maybe take into consideration age, hormones, all this stuff. And the only reason I'm bringing it up because I personally have been going through some stuff, but what are some things that you can talk about for females? I don't know if Sherry wants to take this or Jeremy, whoever.
Sherry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I will say that with the in the winter when we do our Divas winter program, okay, the Tuesday, Thursday class is typically, unless there is several cancellations, it is only women. So it is a kind of a safe space for women to exercise together, ask questions about changing, you know, hormones and nutrition and why am I gaining this weight? I'm in my 45 to 50. So that is one aspect of how we kind of help that segment of population. And I think now that we have a new facility with fitness equipment and recovery and the testing will only grow our ability to serve and help women who might have questions about getting older and how that affects their fitness and the such.
Nice.
Did that help?
Nice.
Yeah. From a testing standpoint, mm-hmm. We don't do blood testing, so we're not able to kind of pinpoint hormone levels, but I mean, for females, one of the biggest, most important things that we do from a testing standpoint is the DEXA body composition. That will tell male, female, anybody bone density, which is a huge thing for women as they age, as hormone levels change, bone density has an effect on that or is affected by that. So, I mean, that's one of the huge tests that we do for women is the DEXA scan from a bone density aspect. Yeah. We'll get a lot of women that will come in and schedule the DEXA scan for bone density. And then all of a sudden they're walking away with full body composition. So they're getting a lot more than what they thought they were going to get. But all of our testing really kind of coincides with men's health, women's health. But I mean, from a, how much should we be eating? We see a lot of people under eating. Because I mean, there's so much bad information out there. So the mm-hmm. first thing they do if they're trying to lose weight is they cut their calories. And that's honestly one of the worst things that you can do.
Yeah.
So being able to pinpoint a lot of those things. And I mean, simply said, we help take the guessing game out of the equation. We're able to kind of pinpoint for each individual person, women, men, young, old, exactly what they should and should not be doing. So,
yeah. All right. Put your thinking caps on. Probably one of my last questions. Believe it or not, I've come to the end of my questions. Think of a memory. Think of one of your top memories, whether it's something that happened in the Michigan camp to helping out a client, you know, discover their possibilities, or just educating individuals about the importance of nutrition. Think about that.
Okay. I'm going to think about it, but I'm going to let Chandler go first.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to put him on the spot.
Yeah. I don't know. For Michigan this year, we kind of on the Century Day, we had a fun experience. So there's this one road that it's called Lake Shore because it runs along the lake shore.
Oh, I know that road.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. And we're riding along, and up the road are some power line workers. And one of them's kind of standing in the middle of the road. And I was on the front of the bunch for the rotation at that time. And I'm kind of looking ahead, and I'm like, what's he doing? Is he mad? Is he saying because someone's overhead for us to slow down? You know, it's trying to decide what's best for the group. And as we get closer, he's like holding these things in his hand. And as we get even closer, we realize they're water bottles because he's trying to give us a water bottle hand up. And so I don't know if he meant for it to be an on the fly water bottle hand up like they do in the tour. That's how I took it as.
Yeah.
So we come flying by and he holds out the water bottle and I grabbed one from him like at speed. And so they were all like hooting and hollering and cheering and our group was laughing. And so it was just something fun that like, you didn't know what was going to happen. It was just one of those, like, we may never again have someone randomly hand us a water bottle. So that was pretty cool this year, just for all parties involved.
Yeah.
So
Makes you wonder if he was a cyclist and he was like, yes, this is my opportunity to hand off bottles.
My dream moment. Yes.
Yeah, and good on him because the road's relatively straight, but I don't know if he just happened to have bottles with him or he saw us because we have lights on the front of the bike. Sure. So like you said, if he were a cyclist, it would have made sense to him. But yeah, it's funny. It's just next thing you know, he's handing us water. So yeah, that was a good memory.
Maybe he'll listen and he'll hear the story and be like, I was that guy.
I hope so.
That's good. That's a great memory.
Sherry, how about you?
Oh, goodness gracious. My favorite memory. You know, I think the Tuesday, Thursday classes, I've seen women go from, you know, I'll give an example. Somebody who we all know who is a really, really, really strong rider, probably used to be a Cat One racer. First time she came in, she was clueless on power and how to keep things consistent. And the first couple of rides, I kind of finally leaned in and I'm like, we want to keep it green. He was like in the red.
Yeah.
And she finally kept coming in and would dial everything in perfectly. And then one day her and I went on a gravel ride to support somebody else that was taking the class and couldn't do Mid-South. She had been training all winter for Mid-South, but then those fires happened.
Yeah.
So we created a gravel ride outside for the rider. And she finally said, I cannot believe how strong I am now, considering that I haven't been as consistent because she travels a lot. She goes, VQ Labs is unbelievable. I can't believe how good and strong I am right now. So, and this is like somebody who's used to be a professional rider.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know who it is. I'm not going to say their name, but they demolished the front group at the Dust Bowl Recon ride and dropped a lot of the men. And I was like, yeah, let's go.
Yes, that is exactly the person. And I take a little pride in knowing that finally she got the whole, you know, because before she was riding before there was power and she just throttles it. But now we're, you know, reining it in.
And she won a time trial race too. Hint, hint. We all know who you are.
Yes. She did win a time trial. 8th overall.
With that.
Yes.
Yeah. You can caption that person when you go through and edit this if you want.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
All right. Memory from you, Jeremy.
Well, so I have the advantage of having more years at VQ Labs, which also makes it harder to pick out one memory. But I'm going to kind of put these all, I'm going to chunk it all together. But like my day-to-day favorite memory are the people that come back to test with us. I'm going to go the testing route rather than the cycling route. But the people that come in and test with us that after years of frustration of being able to not get their goals accomplished and have people come back in after going through some of the testing, going through some of the education and come back to us and finally see the results that they've been looking for a long time, just because of the education and the testing and the things that we've been able to show them and teach them and tell them how to do. I mean, that's one of the most satisfying, gratifying things is when people come back and they were like, finally, I've been able to lose weight, lose body fat, gain muscle, whatever the case is. And I mean, I know that's not a specific memory, but it makes me appreciate and love exactly what I do and proud of what we do here at VQ Labs to be able to help so many different people, whether it's the person who we were just talking about being able to rip somebody's legs off on a group ride because we're able to control them from a training standpoint, and educating them a little bit to just totally rewiring somebody's head of what they should and shouldn't be doing on a daily basis to lose weight, gain weight, modify their body a little bit. It's totally satisfying. So
absolutely. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about a lot of things, go to VQ Labs website, vqlabs.com. They have Facebook and Instagram. You also can join their newsletter. They have a wonderful brand new website, which I'm not familiar with because it's new. Did I miss any topic or anything that you would like to talk about for our listeners to know?
I don't think so. I mean, the only other thing, and this is another shameless plug, is Monday nights from our new location, 6 p.m. during the outdoor season, we do a true recovery ride. So 18 mile an hour max speed. We welcome anybody and everybody to come out. It's about a 23 mile loop that we do. So we
I like how you say a true recovery ride, because I've been on so many of those recovery rides where people are like, yeah, it's zone one, zone two. And then it turns into zone like 3, 4, and they're doing sprints. And
That's
the point.
I think between Chandler, Sherry, and I, we're all really good at making sure that one of us parks it at the front. So if somebody is that person that wants to drive up the pace a little bit, be like, you picked the wrong ride.
Yeah.
We truly make it a recovery ride, which there's not enough of, because everybody goes to a group ride and they want to rip everybody's legs off. Or try. Yeah. There's always that one person. So
I can name a few. VQLabs.com. Like I said, really excited and super stoked to have this discussion. I really hope our listeners learn and maybe schedule an appointment just to chit chat and talk about some future goals and tests. So I appreciate all of you for joining, and I will edit this and get it out, and I will let you know when it's live and our listeners will be ready to listen to it. So thanks so much. Awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day,
everyone.
Thanks
for having us. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.